For us will be a great white throne, and Him that sat on it was faithful and true. Brothers and sisters and dear souls tonight, that moment may be very, very near. I would like to welcome anyone who would like to respond tonight, to respond at any time through the message. I would like you to feel free to do that. It is not about who is here tonight. It is not about who is speaking tonight. It is not about any person here tonight. It's about an eternal soul that God is pursuing. And I want you to feel free to do whatever you need to do to make that eternal choice secure. And you will know when you are before that great white throne, you will know that it was the right thing to do then. Don't worry about who will see you. Don't worry about what your friends will think. Know that there is a coming a time when your friends will have nothing to do at all with where you are. It's a wise person that looks eternally and makes decisions based on eternity. When you singers have sung your last anthem, and your preachers have said your last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon, and the singing has died on the air, when the Bible lies closed on the altar, and the seats are all empty of men, as each one stands in judgment to answer, and the great book is opened, what then? When the actors have played their last drama, and the clowner has made his last fun, when the big screen has flashed its last picture, and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd seeking pleasure have vanished, and gone out into darkness again, when the trumpet of ages is sounded, and we stand up before Him, what then? When the bugle's last call sinks to silence, and the long marching columns are still, when the captain has given his orders and has captured the last fort and hill, when the flag is pulled down from the masthead and the wounded afield have checked in, and the world that rejected the Savior then is asked for a reason, what then? What then? Tonight we'd like to speak and look a little bit at the raptured bride. I don't know if raptured is the right word or not, but raptured is caught away. And we want to look at the caught away bride of Christ. Revelation chapter 7. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Do you see the great numberless crowd of people? Down here, brothers and sisters, we've talked about it this week. There is ridicule. There is mocking. There is scorning from the religious world, from the world itself on both sides of the aisle. We have scorning. We have people looking down on us. We have people laughing at us for the stands and the positions. And we look like a motley crew, but look at them here. Around the great white throne, and I want to ask you something. Who is the winner? It is those who have come out of great tribulation. Brothers and sisters, God knows your tribulation. He sees the battles. He sees the heart cries. He sees the laboring. He knows your tribulation. And one day we'll all be over. Take courage, bride of Christ. Take courage. Look at them. In verse 14, they are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're with white robes through this earth. Sometimes we feel so not white. Sometimes we feel so full of humanity. We feel so undone and unworthy, and we are. But they're dressed in white robes. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb was applied. Brothers and sisters, tonight the blood of the Lamb still makes robes white. Do you feel dirty tonight? Do you feel like your clothes are unclean and unholy because of the sin and the iniquity and the abominable works of the flesh in your heart? The blood of Jesus still makes white. It still makes white. There is an answer for sin. There is a cure. There is a remedy. There is a balm in Gilead, brothers and sisters. It's the blood of Jesus. It still makes white. Is there blotted garments? Is there blotted garments outside of the church? Is there blotted garments within the church? You know. They've come through great tribulation. Brothers and sisters, I just would like to put that before us. There's been tears shed this week. There's been tears of repentance. There's been tears of sorrow. There's been tears of grief. There's been tears of heaviness. There's been tears of pain. God knows. God knows your heart. God knows your afflictions. God sees your repentance. God sees your desires. God sees your grief and loneliness. They've come through it here. Brothers and sisters, we will be there if we're faithful. There will become a time when the former things are all passed away and not remembered anymore. And we'll be in the presence of the great white throne, in the presence of the Lamb. Pain and sorrow will not be there. Your tears will forever be wiped away. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree for the healing were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. Brothers and sisters, healing for the nations. There are people here tonight with bodies that are wearing out, with bodies that are not what they used to be. There's people here tonight that are broken in heart because of the grief and the pain that they've experienced. There are people here tonight that know the longing of a restored and redeemed and healed body and soul. Brothers and sisters, it will be the epitome of healing forever. in heaven. After the sorrows. After, did you notice? No more curse. Did you ever think about how far the curse has reached and how much we are affected by the curse? And there, brothers and sisters, can you imagine living life with no curse? None. Nothing to blight life whatsoever. Here, the best of days are blighted with things that are less than perfect. In heaven, there will be no blight of curse whatsoever. Absolute joy, blissful rest. Overcome, brothers and sisters. Overcome. Stay faithful. Cling to Jesus. Do what you must do to wrestle through your battles. Think of seeing the face of Jesus face to face. I don't know what we will face this next week. I don't know what I will face. I don't know what you will face. Only God knows what we will face. We don't need to fear the future. Brothers and sisters, if we have God, if we find the secret place of the Most High and dwell in the shadow of His wings, all will be well. It may be painful. It may be hard. It may be difficult. But brothers and sisters, there will be around the throne a redeemed throng. Will you be there? I would like to. There's very, very few places where in the scriptures we get to see behind the curtain of eternity. Very few places. But there is one place where Jesus Himself pulled back the curtain and He gave us a view inside. I'd like to take us there in Luke chapter 16. We can't see. Brother Conrad was at two funerals this past week. We can't see where that soul departs to. We can't see where those souls are taken and how they're taken. But here we see a clear picture. After two people have died, the scene before us. Luke chapter 16. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Dear people, tonight, what are the choices that we are making? Are we choosing to suffer rather with the affliction of God's people because we're looking into eternity? Or are we staying in our sin, staying in our captivity, staying in our joys, staying in our earthly thrills? We are not willing to give them up. There will come a day when we may very well hear the words, son, remember, and because we were not able to give them up, we were not willing to let go and do whatever we needed to do to find eternal life, we will be in torment forever. Do you see the other side? There is a road of hardness. There is a road of fighting. There is a road of battles. There is a road of endurance. There is a road of suffering. But look what we have. Look what awaits us. Eternal rest. Brothers and sisters, labor. Labor for the work of the Lord. We have all eternity to rest. The rich man was not willing to give up his wealth, his ease, his comforts. Whatever the rich man wanted, he got. He brought to himself all that he wanted. He brought to himself what his soul desired. He brought to himself his pleasures. Brothers and sisters, what is worth an eternity in torment? Daniel 12 chapter. You do not need to turn here. I'd like to quickly turn back to Daniel. You may turn there if you would like to. Daniel chapter 12 talks about the wisdom of the wise person. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. I wonder how many people do not respond to God's call because of the shame and the contempt of bearing the cross of Jesus and losing their identity with Jesus. I wonder how many people cannot stand the contempt and the shame of walking up an aisle and responding to the Lord, or responding wherever it is, whether it's at there with their parents or at home with a counselor, whatever, but they don't want the identity of the cross of Christ. They're ashamed. There will come a time when the real wise man and the real foolish man will be revealed. Some will wake up when the trumpet sounds to everlasting shame and contempt. Why will we not endure a small moment of shame for an everlasting glory? Instead, we go for a small moment of being favored by our peers for everlasting contempt. In verse 3 it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? The eternal decision. Yes, now is the cross of Christ. Now is the way of suffering. But there will come a time when those very same people will shine as the stars. That's overcoming. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is speaking, and the disciples asked him if he could tell them about that day when Christ will come again. And so he proceeded to do that. And we're going to begin in verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." I don't know exactly how that's going to be, but I do know this, brothers and sisters, that one day it's not going to be a matter of wondering when he will come. It's going to be a matter of right now he's coming. There will come a time when the eastern sky will roll back. And according to Revelations, Jesus will come on a white horse, the armies of heaven following. Brothers and sisters, there will be never more a time when the atheist says there is no God. There will never be a time when the unrepentant person says, "I'll do it tomorrow." It will be here now. And the end will be here. And it says in Revelations that all eyes shall see him, and they that pierced him. We talked about that. The very Roman soldier that took that sword and pierced him, and they thought that they were crucifying a criminal that day. There will come a time when they will see him in all his glory. Pilate will see him coming back. All of the earth will see him. From Moscow, Russia, New York City, Boston, Chicago, everything will stop. And Christ will be seen of every eye. You will not hide. In Revelations it says, and I don't think the redeemed ones will hide. I believe somehow at that moment, moment, the redeemed, those that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, will rejoice to see Him coming. But I believe the sinner is going to be crushed with anguish and torment at the moment the trumpet sounds. All the guilt will burden him down like he has never felt anguish. All those secret sins that you thought no one knew about will seize down upon you. And they will cry for rocks and mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, see, there's a tremendous amount of goodness that God offers us. But when we hold that back, when we push that back and we resist that, there will come a time when the wrath of God will not just trickle out. It will be poured out upon the sinner without restraint, without holding back. There will be no mercy. There will be no love anymore. The full wrath of God will be poured upon the sinner. Why? Why will that be? How could God do that? How could a loving God pour out such wrath upon the sinner? It's very clear in the Bible why He does that. Hebrews chapter 2 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." You've heard it. We've heard it all week. You've heard it many times before this week. We have heard it. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." Most of us have grown up with Bible stories. We know what happened to Achan. We know what happened to Pharaoh. We know what happened to all those people. We even know what happened in the New Covenant with Ananias and Sapphira. We know the judgment of God. We are responsible. In fact, God told Daniel, Belshazzar, I called him Belshazzar the other evening, it was Belshazzar, and he told Belshazzar that night when the handwriting was on the wall, he said, your dad came through all of these things. He saw the power of God in his life. And he said, "You, knowing these things, hardened yourself in pride." Belshazzar was more responsible than Nebuchadnezzar because he saw things about God that Nebuchadnezzar had not yet seen. Brothers and sisters, we heard it this morning. We are more responsible. We have it all. We've heard it all. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? We know it. We have neglected it. We have chosen to stay in our seat. I have chosen to go to bed night after night after night without confessing my depravity, without confessing my human nature and my selfishness. I have not come to the cross of Jesus. I have deliberately decided we are in hell by the just, our own decision. And it is just. We have decided to be in hell. If that is my condition, I refuse to respond to the cross of Jesus. I refuse to respond to such love. I refuse to respond to such redemption. I have put myself in hell and it's just. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." When we decide again and again that we are not going to respond to such love, we are trodding underfoot the blood of the covenant. Is there any wonder why God will exterminate the sinner with wrath? We have our opportunity. Revelation chapter 20. In verse 11 it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Brothers and sisters, heaven, before whose face the earth and heaven fled away, there will be no more hockey teams. There will be no more Pittsburgh Steelers. There will be no more Chicago Bulls. There will be no more parties. There will be no more Bud Light. There will be no more of it anywhere. Nothing more to enjoy. The earth and heaven fled away. And all that I thought was so dear, and all that I thought was so precious, my farm, my house, my vehicles, my business, it's all gone. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Brother, sister, soul, tonight you will be there. I will be there. Everyone that ever lived will stand before that throne. Not a single person exempt. You, put your name there, will be there. I will be there. Thank you, brother. Verse 13 says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." I want you to notice in verse 13, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead." That means that death and hell simply means that death gave up itself. Death gave up the dead that were in it. It doesn't matter if it's in the sea. It doesn't matter if you were in a coffin with concrete and you put bands around that thing and you thought there was no way God was ever going to get to you. It doesn't matter if we were cremated. It doesn't matter if we were stuck in the bottom of the cave way back in. Every single person, death and hell and the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Gave them up. Not a single person is going to escape that day. Not a single person will be missing or tardy. They will be there before the great white throne. In verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Here's the most important question that you could ask in this world. Is my name written there? Is my name written there? If it is written there, then stand there with assurance. Let your faith keep you there. Don't waver in that. Believe in the grace of God that if you have repented and confessed your sins. But brother, soul, sister, if you know that not all is well, if you know that that name is not written there, I want to tell you something. You are standing in you are sitting in an opportunity that you may well wish you would have taken. I don't know. I don't want to beg someone. I don't want to coerce. But I do want you to know that the reality is this is the most important thing in your life. It's the most important thing. And it's for your well-being. And for God's glory. Revelation chapter 19 tells us this. We're right here. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants and all ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Tonight, brothers and sisters, are you ready? Have you made yourself ready? Have you washed your robes in the blood of the Lamb? Tonight is the night that you may do that. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Did you notice? Did you notice what it says in verse 9? And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Tonight, if you are called, or if you are being called, you are a blessed person. This is not something where I barely want to do and I hardly want to do, then don't do it by all means. But if you want to, and if you're being called, and if you have a longing and that there's a stirring, you're a blessed person. You're one of the most blessed people of all time. That the Holy God, by His Holy Spirit, would call you and invite you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What do you think? Is it special to be invited to a wedding? I mean, when you get that invitation in the mail for that wedding, is that special to you? Nice. I'm glad we're invited at their wedding. How about being invited to the eternal wedding with Jesus? Is that a blessing? Revelations chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, I don't know when Christ will come back, but I am quite certain that when he will have come back, it will have been quickly. Some of you know some of the ones that have passed away this past week. And behold, I come quickly. We do not know. We've heard this week of many instances where life was cut off. Behold, I come quickly. He is talking here about his second return. He will come quickly. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Brothers and sisters, forever banished from that place will be these people who have engaged in these sins and these trespasses and these iniquities, witchcraft and sorcery. I know there are people who are in witchcraft for medical reasons. They are in witchcraft. They are dabbling into healing methods that Satan himself is involved in. They will not be in heaven. There is sorcery and witchcraft that people are engaging in for entertainment. They are just entertained by it. They are mesmerized by it. And if you are dabbling into supernatural occultic practices, you will not be in heaven. There are people that are engaging in these things for well-being, for wholeness. Brothers and sisters, that which is originated and which Satan has his fingers in is sorcery, it's witchcraft, and we cannot eat at the table of the Lord and the table of the devils. It will not be in heaven. We are either eating and receiving from the table of Jesus and God the Father, or none at all. He will not be a mixed bag to you. There's whoremongers, those who enjoyed their sexual sins, those who enjoyed thrilling in the party life, those who enjoyed all of that will not be in heaven. The murderers, those who are in any way, shape, or form in relationships of hatefulness, of despite, of bitterness, of anger, will not be in heaven. I wonder how many disappointed Mennonites and Amish will be at the gates of heaven and cannot get in because of anger. I don't know why. I do not know why. But this thing has come back to my heart time and time again this week. I want you to make sure that bitterness and unforgiveness are cleansed from your life. Please make sure. Idolaters, those who worshipped other things besides the God of heaven, those who worshipped pleasures, those who worshipped things, those who worshipped other things than God and then the Lord Jesus Christ and have devoted their lives to them, but they have counted other things of greater worth and greater value than God, you will not be in heaven. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, any deceitfulness at all coming out of my life that I am inhabiting, that I am showing forth. A deceitful life is not a truthful life. If I am not being truthful tonight, if I have a veneer over me and there are hidden things, hypocrisy, it will not enter into heaven. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride, they both. Do you notice that? The Spirit, God's Spirit in your heart, and the bride tonight, the local congregation of Allen Christian Fellowship, are both uniting to say, come. Just come. Come to the cross of Christ. You're invited. You are invited. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Is that kindness or what? All our sins, all our rebellion, all our nastiness that is unlike God. And yet God lovingly and welcomes us to come and partake of the water of life freely. Just come. He is inviting you to come. Do you have a song? This is my farewell. I want to thank you as a congregation for your love and blessing to us this week. And I want to conclude this week with blessing anyone here that is not a partaker of washed robes at this point to come. I would just like to extend that invitation. Will you come tonight if you would like to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? You may come. You may have been resisting this week. I don't know. I actually have no clue what is here. I only know that I want to preach and speak. God told me at the beginning of the week, you go and you speak what I command thee. That's what I heard in my heart. And I have tried to do that. And so this invitation tonight, I trust that it is by the Spirit of God. And you know in your heart, if it's you that He's looking for. You're not... God knows where you are. You may have been resisting this week. I don't know. You may have been scared this week to come forward. I don't know. And I don't know if I should do this or not. But If it is very, very difficult for you to come forward and you just don't want to come forward, brothers and sisters, if it means just standing where you're at and meeting with someone afterwards, do that. I want you to find freedom tonight. The church here wants you to find freedom. If you don't want to come forward, just stand. Stand long enough for us to see you and someone will meet with you afterwards. I don't know if there's anything else to say. Let's sing. Do you have a song? 737. Would you mind starting that? But for me, when I think of, and I think this is the place where all of us can be, and hopefully are, tonight the door is open for salvation. But there will come a time when the door is open for eternity. And I don't know how close those two will be together. But I know that there are people who are saved and feel the open door, and very soon afterwards are ushered into eternity. And they feel it in reality, the open door into eternity. I don't know how soon that time will be. But we're going to give one last verse. And if there's anyone else that would like to go through the open door tonight, it is your opportunity. After one more verse, maybe we'll close this service. Verse 5.
Thou art friendless, O
congregation, thank you. Thank you for the times of fellowship. Thank you for the wonderful week that you've given to us here. We're unworthy to have been here and to know you now as friends. God bless each one of you.